Next hour, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us as we talk about her work, The Encyclopedia of Dreams. We're going to do some interpretations when we come back in a moment. More with Kieran Dolman as we talk about the spirits of Ouija. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls and stories next. And welcome back, Kieran Dolman with us. Kieran, besides the deceased that you were used to primarily deal with, what else is out there? I mean, have any extraterrestrials come through the board or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. And they prefer to be called really either celestial beings or interdimensional or extra-dimensional. We call them extraterrestrials because they're not from our planet. We would be extraterrestrials to them from their other dimensions and planets in which they live. Any kind of being that has sentient being or consciousness and awareness about them, the ability to communicate, you can communicate with them. It goes to the animals, it goes to some of the cryptids, it goes to the wild animals, it goes into these interdimensional beings, and again, what we call the ETs. Yes,
well,
they're all available to talk.
And through the board, you can communicate, but do you ever see them physically?
Yes, I do, and I did when I was a child. This is what got me all started. Way before the board, at the age of 2, I remember seeing beings, and I had a supposedly imaginary playmate, and I do write about it in my book, The Spirit of Alchemy. But I had seen beings throughout my whole life. I thought everybody saw auras. I thought everybody saw these beings. But I had a group of beings that I never had any fear about them. All I felt from them when they came through was unconditional love, and they were these giant, huge beings that would stand in my doorway and glow, and I could hear them speak. And to me, I didn't know if they were speaking out loud. I didn't know about telepathy, but I could look back now. It had to have been telepathy. And I remember them coming and just feeling such a sense of peace and warmth. And when I was so young, I could only put them in the reference of they must be Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know who they were. But let me tell you what, George, I put all this away thinking, you can't do this stuff when you go to school. And I used the Ouija board as kind of like my lifeline to still communicate with some of these different beings. But I've recently, in the last year, pulled back in this group of beings that would come to me. And they're called the Guardians. And I talk about it a lot more on my shows now, and I've met some of the people who have also seen the Guardians, and I'm not seeing them right now, but I'm hearing them. They communicate with me telepathically.
Can you use this as a predictor?
The Ouija board?
Uh-huh.
You can, but again, I don't think it's going to be very accurate. I wouldn't rely on it.
Really?
And that's because to get this tool to really, really work for you, you've really got to put some energy behind it. You really got to work on yourself because it's really yourself that does this work. If you're already a talented psychic or ability to bring in these different dimensions or channel or can do predictions, then you will do really well with this tool. If you're just messing around, no, because it does take time to get the serious focus of this tool to work for you on those levels.
All right, let's go to the phones. Kieran Dolman with us. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Penelope's with us. Hello, Penelope. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you. It's a pleasure and an honor to speak with you. My mother loved you. And we worked with the Ouija board when I was a teenager, which was many years ago. I don't know that it was a positive experience, and we're talking all about the positive aspects of it, and I want to know what negative aspects can come of it, because when we would go and work with it on the planchette, it would fly, and it would always go to KKK, and my mother was a linguist and a scholar, and she always thought it was Kafka. And in retrospect, I wonder if something negative. And how do you counteract negativity? Because all we're talking about is positive aspects of everything, and there's always two sides of the coin.
There's a lot there for you, Kieran.
Well, hi, Penelope. Thank you for calling in and listening tonight. Yeah, again, it's really up to the person who uses this tool. This is not a game. It's not a toy. Although I know it was marketed that way originally, and Hasbro, who owns the patented Ouija board, sells it that way. To me, it's not a game. It's a serious tool, and it means I have to, as the operator of a tool, like if I got behind the wheel of a car, I have to be responsible. I shouldn't be drinking and driving. I shouldn't be texting while I'm driving. I use that tool with respect and respect on the road to the other fellow drivers out there. And so you will get negative things if that's where the level of using this toy or tool. Now, if people use it as a tool and mess around with it, and you will get whatever it is you desire. You will get negative if that's the fears you bring to it. When we have fear about this tool, we will tend to get those negative fears projected and amplified by this tool. So, yeah, you can get negative. I'm here to, because, look, we all know there's such negativity out there, and I'm here to explain that I don't get that because I work this tool from a whole different perspective, and that's why I don't get that. But, yes, people will get negative things, as they will if they do anything. You could just sit in your house and try to call in the spirits, and something negative could happen. It's just because that's where you are with the energy, or where the energy is with you. So it's really, you have to develop yourself. Not the tool, it's yourself. We have to develop ourselves if we're going to work in these realms.
Well, Karen, Tom and I agree that you have got to be the nicest person who loves the Ouija board that we know.
Well, there's a few of us out there, actually quite a few, and since I've been on your shows, a lot of people reach out to me and talk to me, and there's a lot of closet users still. I fully understand why. There's a lot of stigma and negativity that comes along with it, and there's others who are just so open and willing to talk about it, and I know quite a few people now that I think are talented users of the board, and they use it in such positive light, too, and they, guess what? They get positive experiences for
yes,
them.
Yes, they do. Let's go to Kyle in Baltimore, Maryland, first-time caller for us. Hi, Kyle. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing tonight?
Great, Kyle. Glad you got through.
So, had a quick question.
Okay.
We know how our dreams communicate with us through our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So, could the Ouija board be nothing more than our subconscious communicating with our consciousness?
Through the planchette. What do you think, Karen?
I think that's a fabulous question, Kyle. And by the way, Baltimore is the area where the Ouija board was first created and developed and built, and we have a special Ouija board plaque there put up during the OuijaCon festival or convention that we had. So that's a wonderful city that you're in. Yes, okay, so there's something called the ideomotor effect, and what this means is that your brain controls the small muscle movements, and you can actually, through your subconscious mind, move this tool. I'm not here to disagree with that. I actually believe I experimented with that for 4 years. I did nothing but talk to my higher self, which to me is that part of myself that exists beyond my physical body, and it actually exists back in spirit. And I worked with nothing but that. Now, who was coming through? Was it my higher self pushing it through me? You see what I'm saying? So it can get very complicated. I do believe there's external influences that can affect the planchette, and I do believe there are internal ones as well. And I think that's a great question to ask, because I think there's always such questions and quandary about that question you just asked.
And, of course, Edgar Allan Poe died in Baltimore as well.
That's right. He's buried there.
If you want to communicate with the dead through the Ouija board, though, not necessarily as we've been talking about evil, mm-hmm. but if you just want to communicate with the dead, is it a great tool?
It's a fabulous tool. It can be. And I'm going to say that tongue-in-cheek. It's fabulous if you think it's fabulous. If you don't, then don't use it. I've got to keep putting that statement, that disclaimer out there, because it's not that I'm here to tell people to go use the board. I want to be really clear about that. I'm here to say this is just one tool, not different than many other divination tools or other ways, whether it could be meditation or channeling or automatic writing to communicate with these other realms, including the deceased. So I say it's a good tool because it can work, and it can work rather quickly. What I like about this tool, and one of the reasons why I still enjoy using it, and I really do enjoy using it, I get such great conversations and communications and messages. You get a tangible feeling when you use this tool. You have your fingers on the planchette, and it pulls. It literally pulls, and you follow the movement, and then it spells out the word. So it's something tangible. Where often when I'm just working with the doing automatic writing or hearing the thoughts within my mind, and it's like a merging of consciousness, and I'm trying to translate it, that's a little more hard to discern. I have to decide which is my own inner thoughts and which of thoughts that are coming through from another being. And that takes a while to understand. You learn that through your heart. The heart is what helps you discern. But for the deceased using this tool, it can be a very, very powerful and awesome way to make contact.
Okay, next up, let us go to Bobby in El Paso, Texas, east of the Rockies. Bobby, good morning.
Hi, George.
Hey, Bobby.
I had a very interesting experience with a Ouija board.
What happened?
And this was when I was in my early teens, and about 1969 to 1971. And during that time when we had slumber parties, the Ouija board would always come out, and we would normally just turn down the lights, and there'd be four or five girls, and we all had our fingers on the Ouija board. So it was a very common thing to do. But I remember one instance when my sister and I were using it, And this man came through, and he said he gave us his first and last name, his age, and he said that he had died in the Vietnam War, and he gave the street where his parents lived, and that he wanted us to go and let them know that he was okay.
Wow. And did you?
Well, we tried. We knew the street. It was very close to us. We tried to find out if there was a family with that name, and we never, I don't remember.
You couldn't confirm it.
I don't think we ever did find the family. But I also wanted to say that I could use it by myself. And I remember my sister coming home from dates, and I'd be sitting there, and the planchette would be whipping back and forth. And
would you ask it, how was my sister's date? And you'd tell her, you had a bad date, didn't you?
Well, we had some interesting characters come through. Some of them would joke with you. Some of them would be very coy about who they were. But I remember at least one time when we had a very evil, demonic entity come through, and that scared us.
I believe that. Karen, what do you think?
I think that's a wonderful example of how you can use this tool and get information that you can actually corroborate or go find out if it's legitimate. And people get all kinds of messages come through like that. This is what I say, George, especially when you're younger or new to using this tool, don't trust the accuracy of the messages until over time. It's kind of like meeting somebody in life. You don't want to go, oh, I'm going to trust you. I mean, you get burnt sometimes if you do that. You just jump all in. You get to know somebody over time, and they become your friend. You spend more time. You build up trust, and you get to see if they really are who they say they are, and their actions match their words. And they do the same with you. And so using this tool, you will get all kinds of characters. I love what Bobby shared. And you can get things that might disturb you and scare you. And it's really, again, it's your interpretation and how you're using this tool. And so you really just got to, have your smarts about yourself if you are going to use this tool. And don't get caught up in the messages. I call that the dead zone when they first start coming through. And they will come through like rapid fire. There'll be many different characters that want to communicate. And they'll tell you all kinds of stories. And they may even tell you where gold is buried and such silly things. And what you want to do is not do what they tell you to do. Just take it as a grain of salt. Write down your messages. And then look at them over time. And it could be months to years till you finally get this tool, yourself fine-tuned to be able to do this work. So it does take time.
Can you subconsciously move the planchette to do things that you subconsciously want to be known?
Sure, that's the whole idiom motor thing. And most science will jump in and say, that's what's happening here. They'll say, that's all that's happening here is that subconsciously or unconsciously, you are controlling these movements. And I would say that can be an element of it. There's many people that believe that. I believe that's an aspect that happens, but I also have too many times have experienced some things there's no way I knew about. Now, let's just say somehow, and I'll throw it out there, that somehow I'm doing this on a subconscious level all the time. Well, my goodness, that's incredible feats that I'm doing here to be able to get all these messages that are so relevant and specific to the people that then I must be doing some other kind of mediumistic work or channeling work. So we don't fully understand consciousness. We don't even understand how this tool can work. We don't understand how we can even do this stuff. It happens. And so it's just a matter of, like, I heard one of your advertisements talk about, why you're exploring all these different realms and dimensions, and the guy said there's no proof for it. Well, we're doing it because we can and because we want to find out if there's proof. And so that's my goal, not looking for so much for proof, but I'm looking for how to push these boundaries and see what else we can explore and discover and learn about ourselves while we do this.
Let's go to Chris in Tampa, Florida. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I practice hermetic alchemy, and I'm a master mason. And I've had a couple of friends who have had to deal with, like, exorcisms. Not one was directly related to a Ouija board. One was not. He was younger. We were all living in the same house together. A bunch of guys just out of high school renting a house together. And he went into the mindset, I want to see something spooky, probably. I was not there for it, but his life turned to garbage, shortly thereafter. And I guess my question to her is, thinking about polarity in that, you have to have a good and bad to recognize the other. Does she just not believe either dimensionally or after death or anything, that there isn't anything malicious out there or as an actual entity, not just force of will or, you know, whatever you're projecting.
What do you think of that, Karen?
Well, Chris, thank you for asking that question. I definitely, personally, I do believe in the duality of existence and polarities. I write about it a lot in my Spirit of Alchemy book. I think without dualism and polarity, we don't know what it is we want. So we're given this gift from Source, which has to do with the ability to discern, but also to determine what it is you want by having infinite amount of experiences. And we choose those experiences, whether they're going to be more on a negative, darker level or a positive level. I don't believe in all light. I believe in the darkness. In fact, I love the darkness. The darkness tells me that where there's like a womb. It's a womb of creativity and creation. And from out of that womb, we can create our experiences. And yes, I do believe in a negative and a positive, what would you call it, an existence. But I don't believe in evil inherent within Source. I believe Source wants to experience itself, and we're extensions of Source, and Source wants to experience itself in all its shapes and sizes and all its glory, which includes the dark side too. So I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying it's a choice, and it does happen, and people are evil, and people behave that way. So it's a choice out of free will that we get to make every day and every single decision we have.
Without the Ouija board, how would you communicate this way?
Well, I love that the last guest brought up dreams too. Chris brought that up, and that's a really powerful way to start doing some of this work. And in fact, dreams is probably one of the easiest ways that the other dimensions, including the deceased, can come and speak to us. And it's because we're not so inhibited. We're relaxed, receptive state. We're in a different brainwave state, like a hypnotic state and deeper, and then it allows them to come through and communicate with us. And so that's one way. I've always been involved in my dreams. I continue to write my dreams down to this day. There's such powerful ways of receiving messages and learning about yourself and relationship to the universe and to your loved ones. But also, you can do meditation. You can do guided meditation or relaxed meditation and allow the images to come. I use a combination of meditation, writing, journaling, and then sitting still and allowing the beings to communicate with me that way. And I typically feel them in the heart. I feel them in my heart, and that's how I can discern if this is the energy that I want to communicate with. And then from there, I can feel and hear the words come into my head, and they kind of mesh with mine. It's like a convergence of words, and then I get the message, and I just write it, or I just speak it out loud. And so we all can do this. This is very, very natural. It's just that I stumbled upon the board as kind of like, again, my lifeline at a younger age when I was told these things weren't real, and I could see that they were very real through the tangible effect of the planchette moving. Where I am now, I like to use all different types of techniques and not just keep myself limited to one.
Would you say, Karen, that you are in the minority with respect to people who like the Ouija board?
Well, you know, I would have said that probably 4 or 5 years ago, George. I was in the closet all those years, as I told you. I had to be because of my work and stuff. Now it's such a natural thing. And I got to tell you, I've been surrounded by incredible people. I meet them daily through different Facebook groups, through my shows and the things I do. They reach out to me. And the Talking Board Historical Society, that's full of nothing but enthusiastic collectors of the board. So there's a lot more out there than you would think.
You would think
and
so.
I'd say it's split. I would say it's split. George, do you remember when you did that survey? It was split down the middle.
Oh, yeah, I know. Karen, we're coming back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to our final segment with Karen Dahlman as we talk about her work, The Spirits of Ouija, and we'll get to your calls, too. Email in. Karen, I got an email from a fellow by the name of Al, who basically says, though you appear to be so well-intentioned with the Ouija board, you could be a product of the devil out to trick us. So I'll have you answer that on your own.
I would just laugh at that because I'm not on here to defend myself. I'm just here to share my experience and an experience that many people share with me. The board does nothing. When we pretend like the board or think the board has some kind of power on it or that this is negativity because I'm able to communicate with spirits, that many of the people in the Bible were able to do too, and many of us out there do this. It doesn't mean it's demonic. It just means now we're realizing that we are an aspect of Source, of God, of all that is also able to reach into these dimensions and realms and know Source and no source. So I invite everybody to come to my website. I have a section on there under blogs, and it's called Moon Messages. And it explains what kind of messages I'm receiving. And I have to say, they're just nothing but uplifting, positive messages. And again, it's been 45 years.
Well, I got to tell you, we've known you for several years. I do not see you as evil or as a part of the devil. I am still amazed, honestly, of your enthusiasm with the Ouija board. But but I don't think you're an evil person by any means, Karen.
Well, thank you, George. And it's beyond the Ouija board. It's the ability to be able to have these conversations and communications with the unseen dimension, all these beings that exist there. Again, I came into the world doing this at the age of two, and I found a way and other ways to really go come back to it full circle. It's made my life that much more richer and beautiful for it.
Let's go to British Columbia. Susan's with us. Hi, Susan. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. I believe that we all have these abilities, and whether we use a Ouija board or not doesn't matter. We all have them in us if we just wake up the abilities. But I have a personal question here tonight. I'm in a house, a family home we built 95 years ago. It's always had pets. And my mother's 94 now, and I've been looking after her since Dad died 16 years today. And last Friday, and we've always had a series of pets for my parents for company. And last Friday, I had to put down our long-haired calico, Sophie, with cancer. Mm-hmm. And she was my mother's hot water bottle for as long as she was alive at night. She'd sleep with my mom.
Yeah.
And she went crazy. Literally, she's the most gifted cat I ever worked with. She was like the black and white collies that herd sheep. And when our 30-year-old Norwegian forest cat died 5 years ago, she was crazy for 2 weeks. She stayed with him when he was dying, and now, as my mother's failing, she was staying with my mother, and it gave my mother a lot of peace. But problem is, when Dad died, and I do get them coming back, normally they come back within a week of going. However, my dad took 5 years to come back, and in that case, he was protecting us from massive storm damage like you've just had down south that really damaged us badly. And then the cat came back. It took him over four years to come back to me recently, and I've never had a cat come back. This was being 30 years or 28 years with us. I think that's why he did it. But now with Mom being 94 and she's having slight dementia, et cetera, and she's incredibly psychic. She's Scottish background. I would like to know, is there anything Sophie can tell me that I can give to Mom for some peace? Right now, I don't have to wait a week or 5 years because she could be gone by then.
Well, she's not sitting at a Ouija board to get the readings, but what kind of advice can you give her, Karen?
I am getting some messages I want to give, and I'm just bringing in the guides to help me.
All right, you can get them that fast?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah. They're always with me right now, and especially when I do this work and we communicate.
All right, so you can help Susan out a little bit here.
Yes, I can. Susan, first of all, I'm going to say my heart goes out to you. And you're absolutely right. A Ouija board is just the permission or excuse to do this work. You're absolutely 100% right. And I really encourage people to develop this on their own. As you said, Susan, you're able to do this. I'm getting the sensation that this cat has really done its work for your mother, and it's done everything it could. And as I mentioned earlier, when these animals are here, their message truly is, I'm here to take care of you. You thought it was the other way around. And then you find, especially when the human is having issues and nearing their own death or something's changed in their life, the animals will go erratic. And they go erratic because something shifted for them and they want to heal you. So this cat is a powerful cat and wants to heal your mother. And it is around. It is with her. And I wouldn't be surprised if your mother starts talking about it as being with her on her lap. I want to cry. I feel the emotion of this cat wanting to be there in person, but it's there in spirit.
What possesses the cat to want to help out like this?
It's not just the cat. It's all these domesticated animals. They come in unconditionally loving, and they continue on that level. Yes, they can bite, they can get fierce because they're also part wild animals. That's a natural instinct for them. It's a knee-jerk reaction. But they come in as loving beings. They understand unconditional love, and they want to be there for us. And so their task, their duty is they say, just take care of me, feed me, love me, and I will do that for you even more so back. I get these messages, George, all the time from the animals. And when they do die, they don't leave us, they're around us, because they're worried about us. They're not worried about themselves. And when they're alive, they're not worried about themselves. They're worried about us.
I had the skeptic on this week, Michael Shermer, and mm-hmm. you know, he wants to believe, but he wants proof, and he says he doesn't have it. But he doesn't believe in the afterlife. He doesn't think it exists. What do you say to people like that, Karen, when you have dealt with the other side?
Well, I think skepticism is a very healthy thing. You should be skeptic. I think if I didn't have all the experiences I had as a child without any kind of indoctrination,
you'd be skeptical too.
Oh, I'd be totally skeptical. Listen, be skeptical of everything I'm saying. The guides, they want to say what they always tell, and this is their disclaimer, choose to believe or choose not to believe. Take what works and throw the rest away. If it doesn't work for you and resonate with your system of what Karen is saying, then you know what? Don't accept it. You don't have to. And so I say be skeptical. Also, though, be open and in terms of study, research, listen, and again, shut down those walls if you don't want to hear it, but open up our boxes. And we open up our boxes, we begin to understand that the universe and our life within it is full of such rich and ripe possibilities for existence, for experiencing, and for living the life of our dreams. And so to do that, we've got to be open on some level.
Sarah's with us in Wellington, Ohio now. Good morning, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
All right.
Hi, Karen. It's very nice to talk to you.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm a pendulum user. I have been for years.
Ooh.
Clearly, I've been listening to you, and you come through with just love, light, and you're incredibly grounded in your spirituality. With that being said, I've been a paranormal investigator for about 11 and a half years. First question that we ask people is, was there ever a Ouija board used? I've been on some pretty crazy exorcism cases with priests, and been present for them from Ouija boards. How do you know that when you talk to angels or angelic beings that you are actually talking to them?
Great question, Sarah. I appreciate that question a lot. And what I also do some paranormal investigations here and there, and what I find is I can do them without being in the position of that place, because spirit is non-local, as you know, doing this work yourself. So what I say is this. You can bring in anything on these boards and these tools, whether it's a pendulum or dowsing rods or the I Ching or Tarot, by, again, what's within. And so if we go about things fearfully, we will draw that. It can amplify that, definitely. Those things can happen. What I say is I don't recommend somebody just pulling out a Ouija board if they haven't used it really and feel strong within using it, or really I should say feeling strong within themselves and safe and know how to use this tool at any kind of investigation or even using it at all. So I don't recommend somebody who hasn't ever used it just to pull it out and try to get some messages. They will be nebulous at best. They will be gibberish at best. They will not be accurate. This is not a tool just to pull out and use whenever. There's really a lot of practice behind it. It's like learning an art form or learning. Hey, golf's a good example. I could get out there and try to play golf, but I'm going to probably hack the heck out of the course if I don't take some lessons, practice my swing, right? So it's the same way. You don't want to get in there and hack up the house and the energies and cause things to get all stirred up. Instead, you want to go about it more practically. And to do that, you really should not bring in any tools that you're not used to using. And I'm going to throw Frank's box and their K2 meters, all these things are no different than a Ouija board. They register and monitor and communicate back, and we really need to be sensible about ourselves when we use those tools too.
All right, we have next Keith in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hello, Keith. Go ahead, sir.
Greetings.
Hi there.
George, two things. Number one, you should bring your show to Erie, Pennsylvania further down the road. Second of all...
Thank you. I'll let Tommy know that.
Okay. Yeah, Tommy's gonna love this one. When I was a child, had a garage sale at my old house, and someone donated a Ouija board. No one bought it, and I wound up burning the thing. And then a couple hours later, my joints stiffened up, like almost like rigor mortis or arthritis, if you will, to be accurate. And I'm just wondering, by destroying one of these Ouija boards, am I just asking for trouble?
Aren't you supposed to burn it, Karen, if you're going to dispose it?
No, no, no. Listen, Talking Board Historical Society will take them off your lap. Okay, that's a joke, but it's true. We will get those boards from you and take care of them. Okay, this is the deal. boards that are made out of masonite are not going to burn. So people talk to me a lot about boards not burning. Yeah, they just don't burn. They're hard to.
You can't burn brick.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's the same thing. Okay. So nothing has to happen. Let's say you did burn a board. It doesn't have to happen. Again, what happens to us? We are such powerful beings. It has nothing to do with the board. It has to do with our beliefs. If we believe we're going to have some of these results from using just a chunk of masonite or wood or cardboard, we will. We talk about the EDM motor or talk about, you know, subconscious. We can program ourselves. I would say if you ever get in a situation like that where you think the board's happening something to you, I would try to find a way to undo it. And what I mean by that is I would do cleansing. I would do staging. I would look at myself and say, what can I do to empower myself more? Do I need to meditate more? What can I do to be level-headed if I'm going to ever use these kind of tools? And you know, this tool's not for everybody. And again, I'm not here to tell everybody to use it. And I would say if you have an experience that you didn't feel good about, don't use them, because you probably will continue to draw that type of energy or that kind of experience to you. And sometimes it's the luck of the draw or it's what we're thinking.
So you don't recommend people run out to their nearest toy store and buy a Ouija board, do you?
No, I don't. I think there's such responsibility when you use this tool. If you buy a gun and use a gun, there's responsibility to that too. There's danger. If you're a carpenter and you have a saw, a table saw, there's dangers to that. We need to think of this as a tool, and that's it. And it's the operator that uses it. So no, don't go out and buy one unless you feel like you have a propensity and you really want it to learn how to use it in a positive way. Who wants more negative stuff in their life? We got that already. Okay, so I don't recommend that. But out of curiosity, you know, if they want to explore it, that's fine. But again, get yourself in that state of presence where you know that you are centered within yourself. You know that you are. I feel strong. I know I'm an aspect and expression of Source. There's not a question in my mind about that, or in my heart. I know that, and I feel it, and I live my life from that place as much as possible. And so, for me, I can speak on this level on this because of my experiences with it. And again, it's been nothing but very, very positive. And anybody that's been around me, when they see me use this tool, I know they concur because we talk about it all the time. This is just not a tool for everybody. It's just not.
Most of the boards are going for $20 to $70.
Oh, get some older ones. I had a board that was quite a few hundred dollars. It's like an 1892 board. It depends what kind of board, what year it was made, how many were made, especially if you get into the older boards or even professionally made boards of a small number of creations. You know, your price will change.
Can you have a cursed board?
Well,
how about that, huh?
People talk about that, okay? And I'm not going to discount what people talk about. I've never had that experience. I will say this. When I get a new tool, and I do buy a lot that I've bought that are used, because I do love the Ouija board, I have a lot of the older Ouija boards. And I also like talking boards. So I mostly have Ouija boards. I think 17, 18 of my boards are Ouijas. I will get the old ones, and I will sage them. And I love to do some kind of ritual around them because that the ritual empowers me. And the ritual presents energy to me, so it changes my feeling about the tool. And it helps the board, in my sense, it feels like it's cleansed. So I will sage. I might use the moonlight. I've been known to use a little dirt, saying prayer. I always say a prayer when I do this work. I always do protection. And it's not protection so much for me. It's the protection to raise my vibration to match who I'm communicating with. But, yeah, any new board I get, I'm going to induct it into the rest of the boards through some kind of process.
Karen, do you believe in God?
I absolutely believe in God. I believe in God 100%.
You're spiritual?
Yes, I'm spiritual. I use the word source interchangeably. God is source, and I'm an expression of God, as all of us are. All of humanity is an expression of God incarnate, expressing in himself, as are everything that exists, the animals, all this consciousness, all these sentient beings.
Time permitting, let's squeeze a call in with Steve in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Steve, go ahead.
Morning, George.
Hi.
First of all, I've never had anything to do with Ouija boards, and I have no desire to ever have anything to do with them, but I just, if I may, I have a negative story, very brief story that I'd like to...
Okay, I've only got a minute and a half for you. Go for it.
Okay. This is probably over 20 years ago. I was listening to Chicago radio, overnight radio, with Eddie Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him?
Sure.
His guest was the local ghost hunter on, and somebody called in. A guy... said he had an experience with a Ouija board with his girlfriend, or maybe it was his wife at that point. He said that they decided to play with a Ouija board. I don't know if they had any experience, prior experience with this. And his girlfriend or wife, he had already some time before gotten her pregnant, and she had had an abortion. And when they played with the Ouija board, the message that that they got was, "Why did you kill me?"
Oh,
and he said it was a devastating experience for both of them.
I believe that would be. Karen, we are out of time. You probably changed some people's minds about Ouija boards, Karen.
It's okay if I do or don't. It's just a message to share, and the message is not the board. The message is what comes, the message I receive from my spirits and guides through the board, and the message is that we are all divine beings and to really embrace that in yourself, and we can all awaken to these abilities, and we've got to remember that we are, you know, God incarnate. We are expression of Him, and it's beautiful place to be empowered in that understanding. And I want to thank you, George, and the Coast listening audience.
Thank you, and we'll see you on our Tuesday, Feb 13th chat for Coast Insiders, Karen. We'll have some fun with that. Up next, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us, the Encyclopedia of Dreams.